about my phone call.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay, I want to comment on it. He said, the comment on this is no comment. And I said, you know, I quite expected you to do that. And he said, Larry, we don't know anything about this story.
If he doesn't know anything, why can't he say it's not true?
No, I asked him that. And he said, even if I did know anything about it, whether it was true or false, I would still take the posture of saying no comment.
Why? Did you ask him?
No, he gave me a lot of bullshit.
Larry, if it's false, all he's got to do is say it's false.
I know. He said he doesn't know that it's false.
He got plenty of lawyers there he can ask.
Yeah, well, he said he has too many to ask.
Oh, that's bullshit. He got a division chief.
I know that, Harold.
What do your people think about this?
No, they're going to stay away from it.
Okay.
They don't want to touch it. So then he and I went off the record, and he said, you know, why would we want to do something like this? You know? And I said, well, you know, okay, maybe you want to, you might want to get the people who were really involved, if they were. And he said, you know, we had no evidence. We had, if he would name people, we don't have enough proof to pin them. And I said,
well, of course,
well,
that's true. They don't. That's why he can't name people.
Right. Okay. And I said, okay, but, you know, and he said, you know, if I knew anything about this, why wouldn't I tell you? Or why wouldn't I tell you no? And I said, well, maybe because one of the people who was involved was somebody who was playing patty cake with you over the years, and you let him go on a lot of charges, and you'd be a little embarrassed to have it brought out in the newspapers that one of your agent provocateurs was...
Larry, you nasty.
Uh-huh.
What did he say?
And he said, oh, we're talking about somebody in New Orleans, right? And I said, yeah. And he said, now, we are talking about somebody who was in a lot of hot water in other areas. And I said, yeah.
Right. 26 of them.
And I said, and you let him off on a lot of those areas. And he said, yeah. And but then he said, I forget what it was, something, it was some case that obviously I did not know about. And I said, well, let's go to a different tack. Let's go back to Mr. Ray's statement of yesterday concerning one of the phone numbers belonging to a phone that was under the influence of a Teamsters union. And he said, yes, okay, we're talking about the same person. You're right. And he said, you know, I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. And he said, what was it? Oh, I made a reference to, you know, that I could not tell my source, but since I'm living in the city of Chicago, you know,
yeah,
you might be able to guess. And he said, yes, and, you know, if you're wise, you will not put that much credence in that source. And he said, you know, I don't expect you to really believe me if I tell you, but, you know, there are a lot of reasons for you not to believe that source.
Generally speaking, that's a true statement.
Sure, right. Mm-hmm. So, well, all in all, it was a fun little conversation.
Yeah, and all in all, you know, I was really putting you straight.
When I hit him with that patty cake stuff, you know, and
yeah,
he started hitting on that, he got really upset, you know. He starts getting angry, and then he sort of calmed down and you know, made me do everything but swear on my great-grandmother's grave that, you know, this was all off the record.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, he asked me what I was going to do with the whole thing. And I told him I was, you know, at this point, I wasn't sure. But if something ran, I would call him tomorrow and ask him, or call him Monday and ask him for comments on what we printed.
Yeah.
And he said he wouldn't say anything.
He said he wouldn't say anything. Well, he's been getting an education these past 24 hours, hasn't he, Larry?
Mm-hmm. Well, he was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It's a crazy thing what that foreman business,
mm-hmm,
in reaction to the crazy Ray business, is setting off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's popcorning all over the place. And, oh, I also I started asking him about the transfer thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't told you about that.
Yeah.
I started asking him about that, and he said, do you have any other questions? And I said, well, you know, I've got one question about the transfer, but that's the Bureau of Prison stuff, so you probably don't know about it. And he said, well, try me. And I asked him the question, and he starts rattling off all the answers. And I said, you're sort of a specialist on the subject, aren't you? And he said, no, we've been getting a lot of calls.
Well, what were his answers?
City desk.
No, wrong line.
Sorry.
His answer was refer me to Ted Swift over at Bureau of Prison.
Ted Swift?
Swift, yeah.
Like in Jonathan?
Yeah. Special assistant.
Yeah.
And Swift said that he quoted me the federal statute that allows them to take prisoners from the state.
That's not the answer.
No, wait. He read the thing, and he said the question here, off the record, we are within our rights to take this prisoner. If anyone has done anything wrong, it is the state.
Right.
That we do not have to prove that the state can give us this person if the state wants to give
us. Oh, wow, Larry, what a hell of a thing to say.
And we accept them.
What a hell of a thing to say.
No, I haven't gotten to the good part. Let me get to the good part.
Okay.
So earlier at 1 p.m., I called Stu Judkins, my great friend downstate. We talked about the weather in Richmond, Virginia, where he used to live, live nearby, and a lot of stuff. And I asked Stuart to quote me the chapter from the Tennessee State Penal Code, which allows them to transfer a state prisoner to a federal prison. And Mr. Judkins said, oh, you found out about that, huh? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, you know, why are you doing it? Or how can you do it? And he said, this is something we're just doing. We don't have any specific provision that said we can do it. We're just doing it. We don't have any specific provision that says we can't do it. And he said, we do keep federal prisoners in our prisons, such as women prisoners. And I said, yeah, but that's an entirely different matter. And he said, yeah, that is an entirely different matter. Okay, and he said, one of the interesting things, he said, okay, what we're working on here is a question of jurisdiction. We would have to be able to go after Ray when we need him. And I said, okay.
Wow.
And I said, okay, you're just doing it on your own. And in effect, he said, yeah. And I said, there's going to be questions raised about this, about the legality of it. And, you know, and he said, well, you know, that he referred to Ray's suit of yesterday. And I said, you know, there are going to be further questions. And he said, that will have to be a question for the courts to decide. These kind of things usually end up in the courts. And I said, you know, they are going to end up in the courts. And he said, okay, if they end up in the courts, quote, certainly if it's illegal, we won't do it. I imagine it'll get tied up in the courts for a long time.
Well,
so it was sort of a fun day. And
Larry, this last business, don't you think your people would be interested in that?
Oh, that's my story for tomorrow. That's
okay, fine.
The legal battle is brewing over the transfer of blah, blah, blah.
And there's no legal authority for it.
Right. There's no legal authority against it, but there's no legal authority for it. And I said he was convicted to 99 years in prison in the state of Tennessee. And they said, he didn't say that they're making a test case out of it, but, you know, in effect, that's what he did say.
Yeah.
Oh, I also asked Swift. I said, you know, you have, what, between 70 and 80 prisoners, state prisoners who are in federal institutions. And he said, yeah, you know, we can do this. And I said, okay, counting Mr. Ray, how many of these will be from states which do not have specific provisions in their state penal code providing for transfer to a federal prison? And he said, Mr. Ray.
Wow.
So, you know, it's kind of bouncing around a little.
That's great, Larry. That's great. What a crazy goddamn thing to set this off, if only it can get the attention it deserves.
Mm-hmm.
And why, Larry, why? Why all of this? Now, I've done some checking since I spoke to you. Remember I told you they told you that Ray had not been beaten and Martin Waldron insisted he had been?
Yeah.
There's only 2 days of his life in which this could have happened.
Yeah, Jim told me that.
Okay.
Right. Judkins in Nashville and Swift in Washington both say they are aware of no time at which he was beaten. They are aware of no threats against him. And in fact, Swift went out of his way to disclaim some kind of wire service story that said they were moving him because of a threat against his life. And Swift said, you know, this was obviously somebody got the wrong idea about what someone had said.
Yeah. Martin insists that he was beaten. And he wouldn't do that unless somebody really made him believe it, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not a kid just coming up.
Mm-hmm.
He's down in Houston, by the way, if you want to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
At his home.
Mm-hmm.
And Foreman was on TV in Houston last night saying what you know.
Right.
Well, Larry, these various stories can be very interesting because after I spoke to you, I spoke to Bud, and he sees in it what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spoke to Jim, who agrees.
What, that they're trying to stick it
away? How can Foreman know?
Oh, on Foreman, yeah.
And how can he say conducted an investigation?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we found it without going any place, and he says he couldn't find it even with the help of the telephone company.
Well, I mean, on the face of it, it's sort of, you know, well, you might read over it because, you know, it to somebody who doesn't know what they're, you know, the significance of it,
it can pass.
You can read past it, but...
Yeah, but when you know what we know, you can't.
Yeah, but it's sort of, you know, absurd when you really stop to think about someone saying, you know, we cannot find out who had X telephone number in 1967.
That's
great. I mean, somewhere in the United States of America with all the records and files, there is a record of who had that, you know, or there is an old Southwestern Bell
phone directory.
And there, the old Southwestern Bell phone directories are sitting in a bookcase behind some sweet young thing who turned around and pulled them off the case and opened up and looked up some names.
We didn't even have the pleasure of seeing a sweet little thing. It was that easy.
Mm-hmm.
And to come up with the same thing.
Yeah.
On the one hand, mm-hmm. from Charlie Stein, mm-hmm. and on the other hand, from two different sources, not Charlie Stein. You see the importance of this.
Right.
So that was really, it's really quite, this is the craziest goddamn thing yet, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fine. I'll be going to pick up my wife pretty soon, but I'll be home tonight, and I haven't heard anything of any consequence since I spoke to you.
I did find it interesting that Mr. Stevenson, you know, knew the name of our Teamster friend.
Yeah.
And knew that was the name that would be named.
Well, that could mean one of two things. It could mean that they've been keeping tabs on the brothers,
mm-hmm.
or that they know.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. I got my file out now. Boy, I'm going to go. Oh, that's it. The attorney James wanted to get for the new stuff is from Oklahoma by the name of Watts. Do you have that?
I had the name Watts, but not Oklahoma.
Yeah, and Watts said no and recommended somebody in Nashville.
You know, it seems to me that Watts is a former Army general who represented General Walker.
That sounds quite likely. Okay, let me see. I got my whole file here. Let me go through and see if I have anything else.
A crazy bastard, Jerry. He doesn't know what he's doing.
No. Mm-hmm.
He's gonna lass up something that could be good.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. You want the name of the Marxist-oriented...
Yeah.
Okay, Progressive Labor Movement. PLM.
Yeah.
That's the group.
Yeah.
The person specifically is Milton, M-I-L-T-O-N, Rosen, R-O-S-E-N.
The name means nothing to me.
You didn't get that from me.
That's right, I didn't.
Milton Rosen's former president of the Progressive Labor Movement. He lives in New York, where he has a phone number. I haven't talked to him. I assume that's him. And the PLM also has an office in New York. Chinese and Albanian Communist-Oriented Socialist Party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The person he was staying with in New Orleans is Joseph L. Levine, L-E-V-I-N-E.
I don't know him either.
I don't want to give it to... Oh, shit, I just gave you the name. It doesn't make any difference if I give you the number.
That's correct.
Right. 949-1738.
Larry, it's been so long since I looked at that number, I can't say offhand if that's the same one.
In 1967...
There's part of it that's familiar.
In 1967, it was registered to Mr. Levine, or Levine. It is still registered to him at that number. Okay, hold on.
That's a different number than I have then, Larry.
Uh-huh.
949?
Wait a minute. Let me go back. 949-1738.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Okay.
I didn't know that that was the New Orleans number. You know that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It's out of New Orleans, you know, assistance.
Yeah, but that area code covers the whole state or almost all of it.
Okay, it might be. South Central Bell. I was also supposed to check Rosen in New Orleans, and Rosen obviously didn't live there. He lived in New York. He was in that area, I would imagine, in 67 for election, you know, campaign purposes.
Uh-huh.
But there is a Mrs. M.J. Rosen. I don't know if she has any relation to him whatsoever. Her number is 947-6609.
I'll check these later in the New Orleans phone book, Larry.
Okay. She's still listed at that number. All right. Hold on a minute. As long as I'm spilling out my guts like a former president. Okay.
I'll give it off to Bud and Jim when I can.
All right. Rosen, he was chairman of the party in 67. I'm reading some of this off of a Budweiser bar napkin, so it's sort of difficult to read.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Watts is the guy who defended Walker.
I thought I remembered that name after all these years.
Okay.
Jerry will never learn.
Okay, you want the name of the bag man?
Yeah.
Thompson?
That's the right, I'm almost sure that's the right one. That's the one we have in Baton Rouge.
Sherman. Sherman Thompson.
I don't remember. It's been a time now, Larry.
Okay. There was one other phone number I checked out for him, and I can't find the memo to myself on what it was, which phone number it was. I've got it around here somewhere.
Also, look and see if you have an address for it, Larry. I have an address for it.
For who?
For the phone number that was disconnected.
Oh. Well, no, the other phone number you asked me to check. Someone else has it now, but I checked who had it at the time.
Yeah?
I can't find my memo to myself on it.
Larry, if you find it before you go home for the weekend, mail it to me.
Oh, no. That's something else. Wait a minute. I may have it right here. Xerox is from Papa's book on our friend. NBC stuff. No, I think that's all it was.
Did they give you the number of the bar? That's new in Foreman.
No.
We knew about two different numbers, but not the number of the bar, and I think that bar was a one-time shot, Larry.
He didn't mention the bar at all.
Yeah.
The two numbers he asked me to check were both residences. The Rosen one didn't check, and I said, okay, you know, Rosen is a New York guy. He was probably down in New Orleans with somebody else. You know, is there somebody he could have been staying with? And he said, yeah, and gave me Levine's number. No, I can't find that the other name at all. Damn it. Okay. I don't know. Can't find the other name. But after I gave this stuff to Jerry, he told me that he sent it down to James, and James was pleased.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
I don't know what it means, Larry, because, you know, this could have been done years ago.
Sure.
Right.
He also, I think he said he himself went to Birmingham to check out some phone numbers.
You told me he'd gone to Birmingham to do some checking, but you didn't remember what.
Yeah, phone numbers.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know when these guys are going to learn that the last thing you do is keep secrets from your defense.
Well, I don't know.
Isn't that the craziest thing in every way you've ever heard of?
Mm-hmm.
We've had to reconstruct so much around them. And the amazing thing is that it's consistent. I don't know what it means, but it is consistent. The number, Larry, doesn't sound familiar, but some of the numbers do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think 949 is New Orleans' number.
Well, that's the number I gave him, and he accepted as being okay.
Well,
you know,
that area code covers, if not the whole state, that whole part of the state.
Being relevant. Well, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's Baton Rouge, or maybe it's out in the parishes somewhere.
Well, Larry, we have two numbers. I can't lay my hands on them right away. One is Baton Rouge, and the other is New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
and it's in the old part of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to the place. I didn't go to the Baton Rouge number, but I did go to the New Orleans place,
mm-hmm.
Larry, and I got pictures of it
mm-hmm.
all long before any of this came up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that is impressive to me. And that, for that, I'm indebted to Percy.
Mm-hmm.
You're off until when, Larry?
I'm off until the all next week and the Monday following.
Wow, that's too bad.
Yeah.
All this good stuff happening and you got time off?
Well, I mean, I've got vacation I'm supposed to take in the year 1973.
Yeah.
So I don't have much choice about when I
yeah.
take it.
I regret that, Larry. I regret that very much.
Yeah.
Is there anybody there who's going to be working on this with any interest?
If anything, I will still be in town. If anything further breaks, I will be at home.
Yeah.
And I can put off my vacation a day or so.
Well, if I hear anything, I'll call you at home, but I'll reverse the charges and I'll ask them to charge it to your office number.
Well, that's okay. You can charge it to my number and I'll put it on my expense account.
Okay. Well, this has led to some interesting things since I called you a couple nights ago, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a little fun. I got a little ink out of it, as we say.
Yeah. Well, Larry, please do me a favor, because I spoke to Bud, and these quotes you read me are important. If you're going to be busy enjoying yourself, please have somebody else watch the papers and send us clippings.
Oh, sure. Well, I'll
because Jim took a couple hours today trying to find papers, and, you know, he really doesn't have the time. He's driving himself crazy trying to do a lot of work.
Yeah, well, I'll be reading. Okay.
Well, I better call my wife and tell her I'm going to be late.
Oh, wait a minute. I just got a new Jesse Jackson story. Now, this is more of his grabbing publicity.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He died Bobby Kennedy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he said it was all part of, it could have been all part of a plot. A right-wing conspiracy to Oh, no, part of a plot by dirty tricks type people to toss the 68 election.
Jesse sure knows a cow when he sees it, doesn't he?
Jesse,
with the cow you milk.
Jesse could have had Jerry to milk if he talked to him, but he refused to talk to him.
He's right to refuse to talk to Jerry because of racism, Larry.
Oh, sure.
But he's wrong to refuse to talk to other people.
Mm-hmm.
But you know the funny thing about Jerry's racism? He hates Jews worse than he hates blacks.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't expect to be going away, Larry, if you want to call me for anything. If I don't answer or if I'm not here, it won't be for long.
Okay, Harold.
Thanks a lot and have a good time.
Okay, you too.
Right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.